This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Voters will go to the polls on May 16th with primary battles for a seat on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court topping the ballot. But there will also be contests for county, municipal, and school board seats. Chris Nicholas is a veteran political consultant with Eagle Consulting. He's here now with all of the election details. Chris, once again, we have a primary election staring us right in the face. This one is going to have a very, very lengthy ballot, unlike last year where we only had a couple of races on the ballot. So let's start out. We have statewide races for appellate court seats. Want to give us an overview?
Sure, Loman. It's good to be with you again. Off-year elections, people tend to think aren't as important, but you're right. The ballot is much longer. So when Democrats and Republicans walk into the booth on May 16th, or if you're voting by mail and you have your printed ballot in front of you, you will see people running for Supreme Court, Superior Court, and Commonwealth Court. The Supreme Court, there is one seat open. And it is open because the previous Chief Justice passed away late last year. Even if he had not passed away, he would have hit the 75-year mandatory retirement age. So the Democrat, two candidates there, Deborah Kunzelman and Daniel McCaffrey. The Republicans have two people running also, Carolyn Carluccio and Patricia McCullough. So voters will narrow that field from two candidates to one. The Supreme Court, as the name implies, Loman, is the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court in the land, and it's also the oldest appellate court in the country since the early 1700s. Below that is the Superior Court, and the Superior Court handles your run-of-the-mill appeals from cases that were adjudicated in county court. And the Democrats have three candidates running and the Republicans have two. So on the Democratic side, you'll see the names of Jill Beck, Tamika Lane, and Patrick Dugan. On the Republican side, you'll see the names Maria Batista and Harry Small. So on the Republican side, there are two candidates for two slots. On the Democratic side, there are three people for two slots. And then the other court, the one that gets the least amount of attention, is Commonwealth Court. That is a special court that handles when people or entities sue the state for workers' comp and unemployment comp appeals, for election law. That's where it gets a lot of the press. On the Commonwealth Court, Loman, there is one opening, but each party is running two people. The Democrats are running Brian Neft and Matt Wolf. On the Republican side for Commonwealth Court, the two candidates are Megan Martin and Josh Prince. So voters across the state will have choices in most of these races. And then after the primary, there'll be one Supreme Court candidate for the Democrats and one for the Republicans. There'll be two Superior Court candidates for the Democrats and two for the Republicans, and then one each for Commonwealth Court. And in the general election, we'll choose between those candidates.
Folks often, Chris, don't pay a whole lot of attention to these statewide judicial races, although the Supreme Court in particular has waded into a lot of very high-profile controversies over the last few years. What is the partisan breakdown? I know people don't like to think of courts in terms of partisanship, but it is a fact.
On the Supreme Court, Loman, there are currently four Democrats, two Republicans, and one vacancy. The vacancy, as I said, is a Democratic vacancy. So Democrats obviously want to win that seat in the fall to hold what they have and continue what would then be their 5-2 majority. Republicans, who have been on the short end of the stick in the Supreme Court for nearly a decade, desperately want to win this seat so they can get to being down only 4-3. When you're down only one spot on a court, Loman, as you know, you can sometimes get over the hump, but it's harder to do that when you're down 5-2. So as in years past, the Supreme Court race in Pennsylvania in the fall will be a hot mess, as people would say, and you're going to have people supporting whoever the Democrats and Republicans nominate. You're also going to have outside groups coming in as well.
So those are the only statewide races that every voter who goes to the polls in Pennsylvania here will be voting on. Now, this is also a local election year, and we have a wide range of county and municipal seats up. Want to give us a bit of a taste of what voters are going to see on their ballot there.
So at the county level, Lohman, this is kind of the on-off year. I know that sounds a bit odd, but people will go into the voting booth or, again, look at their paper ballot if they're voting by mail, and they'll see the county commissioners across the state up. They'll see other row offices like Register of Wills in many counties, but not all, the district attorney. So those types of things, county treasurer, et cetera. And those offices have a lot of impact on your daily life, perhaps even more so than the federal office holders who get the bulk of the press. When you look at the counties, Republicans control more counties than Democrats do. That doesn't mean they control over more population, because the larger counties are more likely to be Democratic. But in terms of the number of counties actually held in control, it skews to the Republicans. And then you have all of those row offices, and those are places where people every week are going in and out of to try and get a dog license, trying to pay a tax, trying to file their will from their parents who passed away, stuff like that. So it's the county courthouses are a hub of activity, and people are much more likely to be there week in, week out than trekking down to D.C. So take your time with those positions. There may not be as many primaries for them. The general election may be more where those decisions are made.
We are talking with veteran political consultant Chris Nicholas with Eagle Consulting about the municipal primary election that is taking place here coming up in just a few days. And Chris, speaking of municipalities, of course, voters will also be electing people who run their cities, boroughs, and townships, making them obviously the most important positions on the ballot.
Well, it's not just those township and borough officials. It's also school boards. So I often describe odd year races like this as the year where you see two, three, or four names on a yard sign, because you might have, in my township, there are three open slots for township commissioners. So the signs have three people on them and such. So these are the people that might be the mayor of your town, might be, if you live in a township, either supervisors or commissioners. If you live in a smaller borough, they might be council members and such, and they're going to be deciding your local taxes, your local services, how your streets get plowed, how the community pool gets run in the summer, right? And then school board, there are 500 operating school districts in Pennsylvania. And some of them are small and some of them are quite large. The one I live in, the one we both live in actually here in Dauphin County, is very large. And because it's so big, they have different regions within the school board. So in some school boards, not every position is up every couple of years, because they have to, in my case, I live in region one of my school board district, and I think you live in
three.
In region three.
Three.
So you can tell there's, you know, more regions. So there's been a lot of sturm and drang the last couple of years at the school board level, because you have a lot of parents after the COVID epidemic getting re-energized in terms of wanting to be involved in their local municipalities and especially their school boards. So some year the school board races are very sleepy, and some years like 2021 and I think again this year, you know, whatever the opposite of sleepy is, that's what it's going to be. Doesn't mean it's going to be that in every single school district, but especially in the larger ones that are more diverse. And in years past, it's often been on more tax and spending issues. You know, they build a new school, and some people think it was the Taj Mahal and cost too much, so there's turnover. This year, as in 21, it seems to be more locked in on perhaps social issues, what books are at the library, what kids are being taught, what pronouns are being used, you know, what the bathrooms are. And I have some people who kind of scoff at that and laugh, and I'm like, look, you know, this concerns your kids. Mm-hmm. Or your grandkids. What's more important to most people than their kids or grandkids? Nothing. So this can really inflame passions. But again, it's kind of hit or miss. You could have a school district where things are aflame and parents are getting angry with each other and there's really a lot of activity in their school board races. And then the next district over, not so much. So it's not – I don't want people to think I'm saying every school board race in the state's going to be like that. But there is more organized effort on both sides, the more conservative side, the more traditional liberal side, this year than I've seen in a long time.
We do have that primary election coming up here in just a few days, May 16th. Also, Chris, mail-in ballots are still a thing. So actually, the voting's already begun, hasn't it?
In our elections, there's a 50-day window prior where you can get a ballot sent to you in the mail, paper ballot, and then you fill it out and send it back. So I don't think we'll see quite as many of them in this primary because the turnout's lower, but in the general election for sure.
Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting talking about the upcoming May primary election. Chris, if folks want to learn more about you and what you do, where can they find you?
On the internet, Lohman, you can find my company at eagleconsult.com. And if you're on Twitter, I am at Eagle63.
Chris Nicholas of Eagle Consulting. Chris, thank you for being back with us.
Always a pleasure, Lohman.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.